This is Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, Episode 8. Let's rock.
Welcome to Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, your resource for marketing ideas, sales tips, and business strategies that help agents like you survive and thrive. And now your host, John Carroll.
Hello and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day you might be listening to. I hope you are having a good one right now, whether you're in the car, working out, or, sitting on your back porch playing this podcast on your iPhone. I'm glad that you're here with me. I got something interesting and fun and exciting to talk to you about today. This is actually going to be a two-part podcast. I have a lot of information, and I thought that it would be better to break it up into two separate episodes rather than trying to put everything together. So this is actually part one of a two-part podcast about networking tips for insurance agents. Now, these are important for it's important as a small business owner that you can get out and be a good networker. But I also think that networking is also just as important for producers that are basically, when you're a salesperson, a commissioned salesperson, you're not really that different from an entrepreneur because you're in control of how much money you make. And networking can actually, in some cases, be even more valuable for you because you can get out and talk to people. And you're going to be the one that's actually selling to them. So anyways, networking, it's important for agents, important for producers, and it's important for everybody. Now, I want to tell you a little background about myself when it comes to networking. I am not really a huge fan of networking events. I do them. I've done them, lots of times. I've gone to tons of different networking events, and I'm not going to lie to you. I really don't like it. I'm kind of an introverted type of guy who can pretend to be an extrovert when I need to. And when I go to these networking events, I usually kind of feel like, oh God, like all these people, everybody's just got to stick up their butt and they're trying to sell me their stupid stuff that I don't want. And it's just all these fake conversations, and I'm just not really I just don't really like it that much. But I do it, and I've done it plenty of times, and I will continue to do it. And the reason that I bring this up is not necessarily because I want to talk down on networking events. It's because I want to share with you some ideas, because as somebody who doesn't really like to do it, I'm probably a good resource to give you some ideas of things that can work for anybody. And I will tell you that, like, when I go to networking events, I can do it. I can shake hands. I can make the cheesy jokes. I can, do all this kind of stuff, pass out the business cards. And people, I think, probably even think that I'm really good at it because I can kind of like pretend like I like it. But the truth is, like, I'll go home and, like, my 2-year-old will be like, "Hi, Daddy." And I'm like, "Leave me alone. Don't talk to me. I can't talk to anybody else. Like, I need to take 2 days and just stare at a wall because my brain is just so fried from talking to all these people." So anyways, what I'm going to talk about in this podcast, this is part one. I'm going to give you 34 smart ideas for networking. And actually today I'm going to do half of those. So 34 divided by 2 should be 17, right? 72, carry the, yeah, okay. So I'm going to do the first 17 right now, and then I'll split those up, and next week we'll hit up the second 17. So the first one is to be a connector, okay? I'm not the first guy that's told you this, okay? I know everybody says that the whole key with these networking things is to be the connector. So I can't leave it out, but I'll give you maybe an idea or a tip about this, which is, really maybe you can walk into these things saying, I want to try to introduce 5 people to new people that they don't already know. And when you walk in the door saying, "I'm going to have this goal of 5, and when I'm done, I'm actually going to hold myself accountable and say, what people did I connect?" Then, you might be more likely to do it. And then another tip along the same lines is you can follow up the next morning with an email to one or the other or both and just say, "Hey, I was just wondering, I introduced you to that person. Did it seem like you guys might be able to work well together? Or, what did you think?" And what it kind of does is it just reinforces the fact that you added value to that person. So hopefully they like you a little bit more, or they're just a little bit better connected to you because you're reminding them that, "Hey, I'm the connector, baby." So that was number one, is be a connector. Number two, show up to the events early. And the reason I say this is because, I mean, everybody likes to show up a little bit late because, like, you hate to be in the empty room. But what I've found is that when I've gone to these events early, what happens is you get to talk to the people who are organizing them a little bit. And I've even, like, been the dude who's been like, oh, I'll help you, like, you know, hang this banner up or something, you know. And the cool thing is that you kind of get a chance to, you know, meet the organizers. And in many of these situations, the organizers are the number one connectors in that room. So if you can do well with them, you know, it's a good thing. And then also later on, you know, they might have the microphone and they might be talking about the different businesses. And, you know, they're probably in front of the group and they're nervous and they look out and they see you and they remember that you helped them out. So they'll be like, oh, and there's, you know, Joe Gibbons from Gibbons Insurance Agency, who, thanks again for helping me hang the banner, you know, before things here. So by showing up early, you can meet the organizers. Another thing too, though, is that when you're there early, you can kind of get a little bit more comfortable with things, so that when other people come in, it's almost like they're coming into your party as opposed to you're kind of like showing up. That might work. Maybe that's, nah, never mind. Okay. So number three, my third tip about networking is do not talk insurance. One of the reasons, there's plenty of reasons I say this, but one of the reasons is that every time I go to like a chamber of commerce event or something, and I've gone to these representing other businesses besides insurance businesses, and I'm not going to lie to you, when I get like a guy who's like an insurance agent, even though I love talking to agents in this venue, I can't stand it because they're all the same. They all have cheesy things. And I don't know. They're just like, I don't want to talk to somebody about insurance when I'm at one of these events. So do anything but talk about insurance. And to be honest, I would even go so far as to say if somebody starts talking to you about insurance, you could even say, you know what, I hate to talk about insurance at this kind of stuff because it's just kind of a drag. Why don't I give you a call at your office tomorrow? We can do this, but tell me more about your family, you know, something like that. Try to change the subject. Tip number four, find more networking events. Okay, so the key is that you want to have more opportunities than you could possibly attend to go to networking events. And a lot of agents, you know, maybe they'll join the Chamber of Commerce and they do those events and they leave it at that. But if you really are looking, if you're paying attention, there's no reason why you can't find something to do almost any night of the week. That would be a really ambitious plan. I probably wouldn't be trying to do that myself, but there's a lot of different opportunities. I'll give you some ideas to think outside of the Chamber of Commerce box. So obviously you've got the Chambers of Commerce, but a lot of times there's more than one Chambers of Commerce. So look at your neighboring Chambers of Commerce, business associations, things like that, to see what other types of networking events that they're having. There's also business networking groups, which are, like the same thing. You can go out to meetup.com, which is kind of like this website that helps people of similar interests get together in real places. But there's different like entrepreneur groups and just any kind of groups where you get out and meet more people can be helpful. Going to different charity events is a good way to meet other people and business owners. A great one, I think, is the school board meetings. You know, you go out, you meet other parents. I mean, those are our ideal target market is, you know, parents with kids, for at least many agents, not everybody, obviously, but high school sports games, local youth sports, city government events. There's a lot of different things you can do, and I would even encourage you to go out to websites like Patch.com, which is kind of like this website that has like hundreds of little tiny city websites inside of it, but you can see different events and things that are going on in your community. Two other ones you can check out are Eventbrite and Eventful. Those are both eventbrite.com, eventful.com. I'll have links to all of these in the show notes, which you can access by going to insurancesplash.com/8. The number 8 will take you there. So you don't have to write all these down now if you don't want to. Number 5, this is one for the agents, but send your staff. You know, you don't have to go do all these networking things yourself. Send your staff to go do it. In fact, you know, like I've kind of said before, it's probably even more important that your producers are out shaking hands than that you are. And if your goal is to try to get out and do more networking, leverage the people you got. If you got 4 people in your agency and you can send each one of them out to do something once a night during the week, that's 4 different events that a representative was there for. And, you know, the key is it doesn't have to be the best salesperson. Because you send people just to go and shake hands and meet people, hand out your cards. There's a benefit to that, you know. Now, speaking of that, though, I would probably give your people some goals and objectives, right? Like maybe even tell them to read this or listen to this podcast. But, you know, you can tell them like, hey, you know, bring back all the business cards that you get from this event. Or, you know, I want to see if you can connect with 10 new people on LinkedIn from the people that you make, the connections that you make at this event. You know, give them some ideas, give them, you know, kind of give them a little bit of a background about that. So number six, and this is, it's going to help you for networking. It's kind of a marketing thing, but, you know, it really helps if you can have memorable cards, memorable business cards. You know, for one, those business cards that have a picture on them are a lot more personal. And I think people are less likely to throw them out. I used to have this business where I had this giant picture of my face on the business cards. And I would always joke because if people threw me in the garbage, I would say that, you know, I was kind of like just sitting there staring right back at them, you know? So I don't know. They probably just would flip it around so that I'd just be facing their garbage lunch or whatever. But, you know, having a memorable business card, if you can get your picture on there, I think that can make a big difference. And, you know, I know a lot of agents that, well, we'll say like the captive agents, they'll say, well, the company gives me, you know, these cards and these are the cards I have to use. Otherwise I'll get in, you know, a lot of trouble. And, you know, a couple things I'll say about that is number one, I mean, really, all right. I mean, you can tell me why I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but like what really stops you from just making a better business card and using it? I mean, are they really going to like, you know, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, you know, you take everything. If it looks good and you throw your picture on there, I mean, you know, number one, how are they going to find out? Number two, you know, but anyways, pretend I didn't say that because that'll just make all these carriers hate me. The other thing is, you know, just there's things you can do. Like maybe you get like a stamp with a funny quote on it and you just stamp it on the back of your cards. Or I don't know. I mean, there's probably a lot of different things you could do in a way that will still be using those cards, but be somewhat memorable somehow. You know, I don't know, like take a little picture of yourself and paperclip it to that card. I don't care what you do. So, but you got to do something, make it memorable because those generic cards, I mean, you know, they're kind of worthless. Nobody's really going to pay too much attention to them. So that was number six. Number seven is I encourage you to set networking goals. And what I'm talking about there is just like what I said to, that you would send your staff with is, say, okay, every time I go to one of these events, I want to get 10 new connections on LinkedIn. Or I'm going to actually show up with a stack of 50 business cards in my pocket, and I'm not going to leave until that's empty. And that would be really good to give away 50. You probably have to give two to everybody. But, you know, or you can say, I want to, you know, try to pick up 30 different business cards every time I do this. And, you know, the key with this kind of stuff is it's like anything that you do in marketing, it's really, you're not going to get any benefit from it once. Okay. But if you think about it like this, if you went to, I'm going to have to do the math here, but let's say that you went to one networking event a week for the whole year. So that's 52 networking events. And let's say every time you do, you make 10 new LinkedIn connections. That's 520 people a year that are more connected with you, that you could actually reach out to. If they're looking for insurance, they might find your information. You might be able to engage them. That's, you know, if you get 25, you know, or let's say that you give out 25 business cards at every one of these events. At the end of the year, you're talking about, wow, this math is way too hard, but there's like, we'll just say there's close to 1,500 business cards of yours that are floating around the community. The point that I'm trying to make here is that none of this stuff works once. It only works because you do it time and time and time again. And it's kind of like blogging, like writing one blog post isn't going to do you any good. But if you wrote a blog post every week for a year, at the end of the year, you have 52 different articles that could potentially drive traffic to your website. It's kind of an abstract analogy there. But the key is setting goals and living up to those. A year later, you're going to have like some really tangible benefits to the situation. Number eight, this is one that's actually, I kind of wrote this like almost for myself, right? But the tip is to always give your card out. And what I'm talking about is I've found myself, like I told you before, I'm kind of an introverted guy. Like I don't really like these situations, but there's a lot of times when I'm like sitting there talking to somebody and I'll be like, I don't know, does this guy really want my card? Do I want to give a card? Like, should I give a card? Do I don't know. Like he gave me his card, but I didn't give him my card. Like, I know that sounds so cheesy, but this is the kind of stuff that goes through an introverted person's mind when they're in a situation like this. So the lesson here is that your business cards are cheap. And anytime if you find yourself saying, should I give them my card? Do they really want my card? Just give it to them. Give them the card. Give it to everybody. Like, if you think, oh, you know, I gave this guy my card last time I saw him, so I'm not going to do it this time. No, just give it to him again. Give it. Just give it. Okay? Because the key is, like, this is a networking event. It's acceptable behavior to be giving cards. So even if you gave it to the same person every time for a year, then just do it. Right? I mean, it's better to do it. I mean, who's going to get offended? Right? I guess I'm talking to myself here. So number nine, this is another pet peeve of John's. And this is like, I really don't like when people have these big handouts at a networking event. So I'm talking about, like, you know, like everybody's handing out business cards. And then this guy gives me like this full 8.5 by 11 color glossy photo of like his carpet cleaning services. And it's like, great, man. Thanks. You know, I'm wearing my business suit. Like, where am I? Like, I'm not going to fold it up right in front of him because it's so nice to put in my pocket. And I sure don't want to carry this thing around. Now, I know what this guy's thinking because he's like, oh, look, I'm going to give everybody this thing. And then there's going to be all these people carrying around my thing. That's just annoying to me. Like, that's just frustrating. The thing about a business card is that you get a stack of them. They're all the same size. It's all cool. Like, you can go back. You can do with them whatever you want to. I really don't like that, like, oh, here's a gigantic poster. You know what I mean? Maybe if it was something that had some good value to it or something. I don't know. But just like a giant poster, this is, to me, it's just obnoxious. So anyways, that's my take on it. So number 10 is to do the follow-up and have it be part of your plan from the beginning. Okay. And it's just like sales. Poor follow-up can basically make all your efforts worthless. So when you meet somebody at one of these events, you have to reach out to them afterwards. And what you can do that can make it easier is to come up with a structured plan so that maybe the very next day you send them an email, and then, you know, 2 weeks later you send them another email, or you send them a thank you card, or you connect with them on LinkedIn, or you do whatever. But the key is to come up with a standard, repeatable structure. And especially if you have like somebody in your office that can help you with those kind of things, you can even take that off your plate to make it easier. But just going isn't really going to take you to that next level. You have to build these connections and do the follow-up afterwards. Another tip, number 11, is this is kind of, I already said this, but LinkedIn is an awesome way to follow up with people. And the reason I say that is, like, you know, if I meet somebody today and then the next day they send me a connection request on LinkedIn, it's kind of like, all right, yeah, cool, whatever, man, we met. I'll connect with you. There's nothing offensive about that. Like, if you Facebook friended me, I would probably freak me out. Of course, you could Twitter follow me. That's cool. But with LinkedIn, the key thing here with LinkedIn is that LinkedIn, because of the nature of it, like, people aren't spending all their time on it. But I think everybody does realize that if you have like 30 connections, it doesn't look as cool as if you have 300 connections. Like, there's this definite direct relationship between how many LinkedIn connections somebody has and how influential they are. So the reason I say that is that when you think about reaching out to somebody on LinkedIn, you're not bothering them. You're actually saying to them, hey, can you add me to your connections so that you look a little more influential? It's like a benefit that helps both parties. And so it's a really great, like, over the top way to connect with somebody. But at the same time, it's a connection that for the most part lasts forever. And I'm not saying that, you know, there might be something that overtakes LinkedIn, but, you know, in this short time period, LinkedIn is going to be here for a while. So if you make that connection with somebody, you know, it's very conceivable that 7-10 years from now, they're still right there in your LinkedIn address book. So it's a great technique, very non-confrontational and very accepted by everybody in the local business community. That was number 11, use LinkedIn. Number 12, kind of on the same line, is to follow their business on Twitter and or Facebook. All right, so it doesn't take that much just to go out and like their page or to follow them on Twitter. But the cool thing is, once you do that, you can actually get their different updates and things in your newsfeed. And it's an easy way to automatically allow yourself to continue to interact with them. So, you know, I meet like the real estate agent, we'll say, at a networking event. I go out and I like his Facebook page. Now, every time in my newsfeed that he goes out, he says, I just sold a house. It shows up in my newsfeed. And all I got to do is hit like. I mean, I could write a comment and say, congratulations, that's awesome. But even if I just hit that like button, he's going to see that. Because when he makes that post later on, he's going to be like, oh, look, I got 6 likes. Who was that? Who liked that? Oh, it's that dude I met. That insurance guy. Cool. Very cool to see that. And all you had to do was just look in your newsfeed where you were already looking and just click the little like button. It's pretty cool. Number 13, follow up with email. Okay. Talked about LinkedIn, talked about following them, shooting people a quick little simple email after the situation is a good way to do it as well. I'd probably try to have something more than just a, hey, it was nice to meet you. Like maybe now I'm kind of lost here, but, I mean, I wouldn't even see a bad thing with saying, hey, you know, what's your ex date on your certain policies or, you know, something like that. I guess you don't want to do too much too little, but, you know, if you're going to do the email, do something besides just like a standard, hey, it was nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Number 14, phone call follow-up. That's like the ultimate, like that's really making a commitment, like actually reaching out and calling somebody. Probably wouldn't do this on everybody. And if I did, I'd probably try to have some kind of reason why I called. It wouldn't be just to say hi. It might be something. And what you could do is you could actually just like make up a fake question. So if you just want to kind of solidify connections that you make, the next day, say you met an accountant, call him up the next day and say, hey, what's up, Joe Bob, Mr. Accountant? I know we just met last night, but I had this situation in my office and I was like, oh, yeah, I got to talk to this guy. And then you kind of ask him some question like, oh, should I do an LLC or a C Corp for my window washing company or whatever? And he says something. But the key is that you kind of like you took this conversation that you may have had in one place, in one location at one time, and you brought it to a new location in a new place at a new time in a new venue through the phone. And it's like it's another way to really strengthen that relationship and hopefully forge a better connection that can lead to referrals and things like that in the future. Number 15 is to read a book. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. If you're following these podcasts, I think I had mentioned this just on the last one. It's a really good book that's perfect for this type of thing because it actually goes through some really simple techniques, which are basically, you know, stuff like smile a lot, or have a genuine interest in what other people have to say. Don't criticize. A lot of different things. But anyways, it's a great book, especially if you're kind of new to sales or even if you're not. Read that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. At the very least, you could probably go to like Wikipedia and read a summary of it. But I would recommend doing the long one. Number 16, the second to last one that I'm going to touch on today is to remember people's names and use them often. Actually, that was from the book I just mentioned. He says something basically like, there's no sweeter sound to a man than the sound of his own voice. And I agree with that. So the key here is that when you use people's names, it tends to make them think that they should learn your name. Because there's always this awkward thing when you're like, hey, Bill. And he's like, hey, dude. You know. So, but usually what happens when people remember my name and I don't remember theirs, I usually think in my head like, oh, I got to remember this guy's name. I can't forget this guy's name. And so by using other people's names, you're kind of like forcing them to reciprocate, which should help you the next time that person's looking for insurance or thinking about referring an insurance agency. It also just shows that you care about people, that you like them. Another tip that I really kind of like this, and it's meant even more to me ever since I had kids, is I found that if I can remember somebody's kids' names, that's like even cooler than when I remember their name. And there's times when I can't even remember somebody's name, but I will memorize their kids' names because when I say to them, like, oh, how's Jimmy and Billy? They're just like, people just light up. They're like amazed at the fact. And I can tell you from my own experience that when people ask me about my kids, like, when they ask me about my kids, I'm like, oh, that's really nice. You know, thanks for asking. But when they actually say, how is, and they say, you know, the name of my kids, it's just like this whole completely other ballgame in terms of like how much I appreciate their questioning and caring about me and my family. Like it can go a long way. So, you know, keep that one, write it down, put it in your pocket. Remember the kids' names and you can forget their names and you'll be just fine. But if you know the kids' names, that's good. Number 17, this is the last one I'm going to talk about. You're going to have to tune in to the next podcast to get the rest. But number 17 is to join a networking breakfast group. So the biggest one of these is like BNI. And it's if you've never been to one of these, I've been to a few and they're totally awkward for me. But it's like you go and you kind of like, you know, you talk to these people, you shake hands, and then everybody goes through and they talk about their business. And then at the end, everybody there at the networking group has to give referrals to other people. And the good thing about this, number one, is that obviously it's good for getting referrals, but it's also good for practice, just practicing your networking. And most of these groups have like an educational learning component behind them so that it's not just about referrals. It's also about teaching you how to be a better networker. So I have never personally joined one of these groups, but I've definitely gone to several. And I think that for many, many insurance agents, it can be a huge boost, a huge benefit. So that is the last one for now, 17. And if my math is right, 17 more will be in the next podcast, which should add up to my total number of 34. My name is John Carroll. I appreciate you being here with me on the podcast. If you find this information to be valuable, it would mean a ton. It would mean a lot to me. Let's just say it'd be a great way to say thank you is if you went out to iTunes and you logged into your, I don't even think you have to log into it. You just go out to iTunes, do a search for this podcast and write a review about something that helped you or how you feel about this podcast or maybe just how you're looking forward to the next episode. And if you do that, make sure you give me 5 stars because it helps me get in front of more agents so that more insurance agents can be more successful. And hopefully we can fight off the Geicos and the direct sellers of the world. Another thing, too, is I also have an 800 number. If you want to call up and record a question for me, if it's something that would benefit the whole audience, I would love to use it on this podcast. That phone number you can find on my website at insurancesplash.com/podcast. That's actually a page that has a little feed of all the different podcasts that I've done. It has a form where you can recommend a guest, and it also has that 800 number. And if I do use your information in the show, if I use your recorded question, I'll absolutely give you a shout out and a link to your website in the show notes. That's all I got for today, but I hope that you're having a great one. And I hope to hear from you next time where we'll go through the next 17. Have a great day. Sell more insurance, kick butt, and keep smiling. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, brought to you by InsuranceSplash.com. Now get out there and sell insurance. We'll be right back.